epistle lesson this Sunday comes from Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unknown wholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, among with other forms of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. This is the word of our Holy Father.
Week 5 of Fireproof. Wow, this has been a journey. Next week we're going to talk about, what's the last subject in this whole journey? Well, love. Yep, we're going to talk about that next week. And this week we take a look at forgiveness. A very significant word as we take a look at our lives and as we take a look at the life of Christ, as that life impacts ours as well. Of course, next week we're going to have the opportunity, since it's the last week of this journey, to have a little bit of marriage renewal in the service. I had somebody ask me after the first service, you mean we have to come down individual couples one at a time? I said, no, you really would be scared then. I wouldn't do that to you. We'll invite all who want to do the renewal to come up here at one time. So if you're interested in having marriage renewal at the second service next week, simply sign up out there. The sign-up sheet is on the fireproof table. Well, I don't know if the table's fireproof, but it's the table that advertises the fireproof movie. And we'd be happy to have you join us for this great celebration. Today we're going to take a look at our friend Caleb and his wife Catherine during the course of this service, and journey with them through an experience that would eventually change the entirety of their lives. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity you give us to share life together, the good news of Christ that motivates and changes and guides and inspires us, for your holy word as it impacts our lives. Enable us as we gather this day to be guided by it, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was reading a book this past week, and in the book I came across something that that got a hold of my attention right away. It's entitled, the story comes from a book, and it's entitled The Prisoner and the Bomb. I think that's what caught my attention. Lawrence Vanderpost, in this particular book, recounts the misery of his wartime experiences as a POW in a Japanese war camp in Java. That caught my attention as well. In that most unlikely place during World War II, he really concludes where I begin today with these words. And these are his words. The only hope for the future lay in an all-embracing attitude of forgiveness of the peoples who have been our enemies. Forgiveness, my prison experience has taught me, was not mere religious sentimentality. It was as fundamental a law of the human spirit as the law of gravity. I like this. This is good stuff. I wish I had said it. If one broke the law of gravity, one broke one's neck. If one broke this law of forgiveness, one inflicted a mortal wound on one's spirit and became once again a member of the chain gang of mere cause and effect from which life has labored so long and painfully to escape. The chain gang of cause and effect. Do something to me, I'll do it back to you. The chain gang, broken. You do something to me, I'm going to forgive you. I don't care if you like it or not, that's what you're going to get from me. Wow. Here he was, a prisoner of war. He seemed to understand it so clearly. Forgiveness is not mere religious sentimentality, but an essential ingredient of our understanding of the Christian faith. Vander Post was right on target. I wonder if he read today's lesson by chance from Ephesians. Remember the words, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Those are the words. Recall the Passover meal, if you will, for just a moment, when Jesus ate his final meal with the disciples. It was an occasion to be remembered, so much so we remember it 2,000 years later. And you remember the story. While they were sitting and eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he said, take and eat it. This is my body. It became more than just a loaf of bread. Every time you take this bread, he says, every time you break it, remember my life broken for you. And we remember. And then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, and these are words from Matthew's gospel, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. You have to grasp a hold of the significance of that when you consider what happened next in this story. And the Master takes us to the most remarkable gift of forgiveness this world has ever experienced. And soon, as we begin to enter the Lenten and Easter seasons, it will come back to us and we will remember again. As criminals were led away to be put to death. And when they came to the place that is called the place of the skull, there they crucified Jesus and a criminal on the right-hand side of him and one on the left-hand side of him. That we can understand. But the thing that we have the hardest time dealing with and comprehending are the words that are said next. It boggles the mind. We wouldn't do it. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can you imagine that? Forgive them. Just forgive them. Forgiveness. Now you know why Paul is instructing new converts to Christianity. And he said to them in Colossians, beautiful words, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience. Oh Lord, I've done all of those things. But most of the time I don't. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against the other, forgive each other. And then the hummer. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Period. There is no other addition to that. As you have been forgiven, so you must also forgive. You received it free of charge, and now it's yours and mine to give back, free of charge, to all who seek it, to all who need it, and especially those closest to us in marriage and in community and in life, in the world in which we live. Forgiveness, without hesitation, without explanation, and without additions or footnotes added to it. Forgiveness, total, complete. I don't care what you've done, when you've done it, or how you've done it, you're forgiven. That doesn't come from us. That forgiveness can only come by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness. Today we return to the movie Fireproof. And we witness one of the most beautiful apologies you will ever want to see. If you've not seen the film, you'll see it for the first time. A beautiful apology of a husband to a wife. After weeks of trying to restore his marriage, Caleb Holt asked his wife, Catherine, to forgive him. Watch this scene. We don't have any sound.
Why are you doing this?
I have learned you never leave your partner, especially in a fire.
Caleb, what's happened to you?
Dad asked me if there was anything in me that wanted to save our marriage. And then he gave me something. I could let you read it.
Was it this?
How long have you known?
I found it yesterday. So what day are you on?
43.
There's only 40.
Who says I have to stop?
Caleb, I don't know how to process this. This is not normal for you.
Welcome to the new normal.
You didn't want to do this at first, did you?
No. But halfway through, I realized that I did not understand what love was. And once I understood that, I wanted to do it.
Caleb, I want to believe that this is real. But I am not ready to say that I trust you again.
I understand that. But whether you ever reach that point or not, I need you to understand something. I am sorry. I have been so selfish. For the past 7 years, I have trampled on you with my words and with my actions. I have loved other things when I should have loved you. In the last few weeks, God has given me a love for you that I have never had before. And I have asked him to forgive me. And I am hoping, I am praying that somehow you would be able to forgive me too. I do not want to live the rest of my life without you.
Caleb, I'm supposed to give those divorce papers to my lawyer next week. I just, I need some time to think.
You can have all the time you need.
The power of forgiveness is clearly seen in a wonderful story that Max Lucado tells in his book, Just Like Jesus. You may have that book on your shelf. He was having a meal with some friends, and the husband and the wife wanted to tell him about a storm they were weathering. And through a series of events, as she starts telling this story to Max, through a series of events, she learned of an act of infidelity that had occurred over a decade ago on the part of her husband. Her husband had made the mistake of thinking that he'd better not tell her what went on, hoping that it would just pass away. So he didn't bother telling her. But like most spouses, she found out. And as you can imagine, she was deeply hurt. Through the advice of a counselor they had gone to see after this confrontation between them, the couple dropped everything and went away for a number of days. That was the recommendation of the counselor. A decision had to be made, and they were the only ones who could make it. So would they flee, or would they fight, or would they forgive? That's the big issue. And so they prayed, and they talked, and they walked, and they reflected. And in this case, the wife was clearly in the right. There isn't any other way we can exonerate the husband. She could have left. Women have done so for lesser reasons than that. Or she could have stayed and made his life a living hell. And some women have done that as well. But she shows a different kind of response. On the 10th night of their trip, Lucado's friend found a card on his pillow. It was not placed there by the hotel. A card on the pillow. And the card had printed on it a very simple verse. I'd rather do nothing with you than something without you. Isn't that an interesting thought? Isn't that beautifully said? I'd rather do nothing with you than something without you. And then at the bottom of that little card, she had written three short sentences. I forgive you. I love you. Let's move on. Wow. What a powerful statement. I forgive you. I love you. Let's just move on. You remember, don't you, the story of Jesus' dinner at the home of Simon the Pharisee? Oh, it wasn't quite the same kind of story, but it was a forgiving story. Jesus and the other guests were sitting down at the table. You know, it could be anybody's home. And Jesus liked dinner invitations. I mean, after all, he was a single guy. He liked to get those dinner invitations, and so he was having dinner with Simon and a town prostitute, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home, came by. That would be sort of a shock, wouldn't it, at your home, if you opened the door. Well, I imagine there were raised eyebrows on the part of all who gathered that particular day. The guest came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at the feet of Jesus. And then, weeping, she poured the perfume on his feet and wiped the feet with her hair. Well, Simon was absolutely repulsed by this whole experience. Such a woman did not deserve to be in his home or in the home of any respectable person. And Jesus caught that attitude, and this is how he responded. From Luke's gospel. Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't bother to provide any water for my feet so I could wash them. That's what it would have been for. But she rained tears on my feet and then dried them with her hair. You really gave me no greeting at all. You just sort of accepted me and took me in, but she's not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Impressive, isn't it? Let me tell you this, Jesus said. Her many sins have been forgiven, and she has expressed her gratitude. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. And then he said to her the most beautiful words that could be said to any of us, undeserving as we are, the most beautiful words said to us is that you are forgiven. That's what he said to her. You're forgiven. There were no strings attached. What is the spirit of the church today? What is the spirit of Christianity in the world in which we live in today? Is it that of Simon the Pharisee or that of the forgiven woman? Are we so caught up in legalism that we find ourselves a lot like Peter, standing before Jesus and asking this critical question? Now, Master, I know the Old Testament. I understand the works of our fathers. But I'd like to know from you, how many times do I forgive? Is it just seven times? Boy, that's a good number, seven times. And that is scriptural. And Jesus said, hardly. Try 70 times seven. And that is, there's no end to forgiveness. You don't stop in any way, shape, or form. Remember where we started off today. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. In any and every relationship, we cannot survive without these three magical words which changed our lives 2,000 years ago, and the words remain the same today and are just as important in every instance in our lives. I forgive you. I forgive you. So today you may come and you may be bringing an anger that has been a part of your life since you can remember when. You wake up in the morning angry and you go to bed angry at night. Life never seems to be a cup half full. It's always half empty. Oh, and that's caused of maybe family rifts. Have you had that kind of rift in your family where members of the family haven't talked to each other for years, maybe even decades, because of anger that's lasted for so long? Maybe you come today bringing an addiction of some kind or another, I don't know what it might be, that not only hurts you personally, but sends a terrible message to the ones you love and you care for. Now, maybe you come with just a foul mouth that represents almost your attitude about everything. And everyone and everything is in your way. And the way you deal with it is with a mouth that won't end. And the spouse and the children and people around you pick it up. And they remember. Or maybe today you're bringing boredom in your marriage. Boredom because you don't have time for each other. Boredom because you're so busy. Boredom because you pass each other in the night. It just sort of exists. I don't care whether you've been married 5 years, 15 years, or 50 years. Somehow or another, we forget one another in passing. Kids take over. Schedules take over. And our relationships become bored. Or you may be bringing a self-centered attitude that keeps you from God and everyone else because you're better than everyone else. And you forget that you're just part of everyone else. We're all in this together. So whatever you bring that has separated you from God and from one another, today is a day when we have the opportunity to admit it and to lay it at the foot of the cross and then hear those magical words that have changed the lives of millions of people down through the ages. You are forgiven.